in a world where options are limitless, but time is not, two heroes take a stand against injustice and overwhelming viewing choices. Starring Jane Ellen.
I don't see how the human race survived the medieval period.
And Adam Cravens.
A lot of them didn't.
This is Binge or Cringe. A podcast that lets you know what's worth watching and what's not. From the Henson Oakley Podcast Center and Rock 93.7.
Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
I've watched a lot for the sake of this show this week. You?
For the sake?
The like, sake.
Are you sure you're not overselling what we
for
do?
For the sake of which like, I have
like
made.
Like when you say that, like I picture us standing like on mountaintops, maybe like flags waving behind us. Like,
for the sake of this show.
Maybe we're you know, doing
we
the salute.
We are the world. Like, yes, for the sake of
Billy,
this show.
Billy Joel ain't writing songs about us. Like,
yet. So before I dive into the many things that I have seen, we had agreed to both watch Shockingly Wicked, Evil, Vile.
Jane agreed that I was going to do that.
But you actually did not.
I have not. No, I have not.
Okay, so let's first talk about Zac Efron as creepy Ted Bundy.
Like... And I know I've mentioned this previously, like, did you see that trajectory?
Obviously.
For this act, like.
And he did, because he's the executive producer.
From High School Musical to Baywatch, it kind of boggles my mind, like, that he ended up there. Mm-hmm. Like, just, I'm not saying he's not capable, he's not talented, but most Disney kids don't end up in that position.
Now, this is about parts of Ted Bundy's life. It's told from a different perspective. If you have not seen the Ted Bundy tapes, is that what they're called?
I think so.
A reporter and or writer both interviewed Ted like over the final 2 years of his life and got all this information and a lot of footage. And obviously, Zac Efron watched it. So this is not a movie with a lot of killing that you see or things like that. This is a movie that shows, I think this even shows the craziness more than knowing all the horrible things he did.
I would argue in the Hitchcockian sense, mm-hmm, that not showing it is sometimes better. Like, it allows you to create it. Like the... I think initially when he had sent Psycho to the ratings board, they're like, oh, well, it's going to be this because of all that and the stabbing and you, mm-hmm, saw all the blood. And he's like, no,
mm-mm,
I don't. You never do that. Like, and it was to the point that, again, like, if I'm remembering that story correctly, like, he did it so masterfully, like, you remember that even though it doesn't, your mind starts filling in those blanks and, like, you know better than anything else what's going to horrify you or, mm-hmm, what you would find, you know, violent or despicable. And when you don't show those things, or like Jaws, which a lot of people called a Hitchcockian-style masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. So
sometimes it's about what you don't show.
For those who only know a little bit about Ted Bundy, you know he's a serial killer, you know he's dead. That's I think, what most people know at the very least. But it wasn't until I watched the documentary that it really was fascinating. Besides the horrific things he did, once he was caught, he managed to escape twice.
Yeah. And like, it's not after he escaped and was recaptured, it's not like they were just kind of like letting him go on the honor system, mm-hmm, and just be like, yeah, we'll run down the road, but promise you'll be back in 15 minutes. Like, he is pretty well,
uh-huh,
under scrutiny and lock and key, like
twice.
Yeah,
and it was when he had escaped, I want to say the second time, where he committed more murders. He was out on the run longer, but he escaped twice. He fired his lawyer.
Yeah,
he represented himself because he had attended and had planned to be a lawyer himself. And what's interesting is you see how you realize that the killer, Ted Bundy, is killing all of these women of approximately the same age. And yet he has a long-term relationship with a woman who meets all that criteria. But she, I guess, represents the life that he wanted or believed was real, and he never hurt her or her daughter or anything like that.
And this was just more of a base, like...
Yes, and that's even... That's...
That's not the right phrasing, but it was an urge that mm-hmm. he had. And, you know, like, luckily for a lot of us, like, it's just, you know, Twinkies or like Taco Bell at midnight. But this guy had a really sick, mm-hmm. like, need to murder people of a certain gender, of a certain age. And without going into really explicit detail, like, he did it in pretty terrible ways, like, additionally.
But when you think about it, okay, you've got, let's say, Jeffrey Dahmer. He's living alone. He's got body parts that he's chomping on in his refrigerator. Not having, what I'm going to say, a normal double life.
I think.
Okay, you know what I mean?
I get what you're saying.
He was a loner. He kept to himself. Ted Bundy had a functioning side to him, which... is fascinating slash horrific.
I obviously never met the guy, but like it really seems like there was this part of him that enjoyed the sensationalism.
Absolutely.
Like the fact that he fired his lawyer and represented himself. Like he was a showman.
Yes.
To a certain degree. And
he
like,
loved the attention.
It's almost like there is you've got the individual that had that normal life, that was capable of, you know, going in a grocery store, going out, you know, mm-hmm. renting a videotape, whatever. Then you had the guy that committed the brutal, terrible, just awful murders. And then you had this media personality. Is that?
Yeah, like, I'll say that. Yeah.
Again, like he's, you know, mugging for the camera. Like, I think he liked being in the spotlight, like the fact that he escaped that second time, besides the fact that he probably knew it was going to lead to his death, like that, you know, kind of encouraged the escape on that. But on the flip side of it, he probably enjoyed seeing himself in the mm-hmm. newspaper. Like he enjoyed seeing the news reports that were talking about him. Like I don't see how you would continue to do so, because it's obviously not like, in a sense that he wants to preserve himself, because
correct. Well, he would not be caught. He did not admit to the very, very, very end. I'm talking like a couple of days before he was put to death, because because of the double life, I think a part of him believes that he didn't do it. You know, just a part of him that lived the normal life and just could hide it, and that he was so smart he would never be caught.
Somehow, like, it justified it in
yes.
his mind. He's like, kind of the, you know, you're not in trouble if you don't get caught. Like,
right. And so he constantly said how it wasn't him and it wasn't him. I mean, he did not let up at all. It's really fascinating how that type of personality existed.
Do you think at the end when he was telling, like, they corroborated a lot of that, but do you think some of that was just him wanting to maybe kind of inflate his legend a little
maybe.
Bit? Like, I mean, and again, like, I don't have any evidence, like, to support it. But, like, what I have seen and read about him, like, I mean, he went under, you know, oath. He was operating mm-hmm. as his own lawyer. Like, obviously, just lying straight face to them. Like, I have a hard time believing that individual would have just completely flipped on. He's just like, well, now I'm going to be honest. This is all
right. Like, apparently the mindset was if he started telling them facts, then they couldn't put him to death because they would want to find the bodies for closure. And
he's just prolonging.
Yes. So he's going to give out a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. And they still don't know how many people that he killed. And they said it was at least 30. It really is fascinating and truly, truly horrific at the same time. But as an actor, what Zac Efron did, Amazing. And again, you have the opportunity of seeing scenes that there is real footage of the real Ted Bundy on camera, and then you see Zac Efron doing it, and it's kind of like watching Bohemian Rhapsody. You can put them both side by side.
And see that the actor...
And it's spectacular.
Well, I mean, two ways. The footage that does exist of, like, Bundy, like, talking to the press or whatever.
It's crazy.
Like, he is charismatic to a certain degree. Like, and Zac Efron himself is also a charismatic individual. Like... I don't.
Oh, and you get to see his butt a lot. Zac Efron.
Zac Efron's. Okay. Well, that's.
So that's kind of worth it.
I don't.
Just saying.
I think we wanted to watch that for different reasons.
I didn't know there was going to be half buttle cheek. Just half buttle cheek.
Half buttle cheek. I don't think that's a hyphenate word.
Anyway.
But, like, I believe that if you were going to have, like, somebody pull off that charismatic side of him that did exist, like, I would believe Efron could, like, emulate that part of his personality.
There is one scene that involves him crying as the camera gets closer and closer and closer to his face, and it's just extraordinarily well done. And I highly recommend watching it and being creeped out at the same time. But if you think it's going to be like a slasher-type movie, not really. Sure, there's a crowbar here and there. But it's not...
It more deals with, like, the psychology.
Yes, very much. Haley Joel Osment is in it. And
really?
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting. Again, in jail, Ted Bundy becomes a dad, escapes twice. Just... Who does
that?
Yeah,
like, it's...
He was treated... Different.
I have watched all of the Ted Bundy tapes, which oddly enough were not tapes. I watched it on streaming, but it was referring to the tapes that he recorded. And it's fascinating. Like, it's disgusting. Like, it's repulsive. But, like, I can't get in that headspace. Like, there's nothing that's ever driven me, like, at my angriest or, like, at my, you know, most... At my basis, like, I've just, that's never been a desire, like, for me. And the fact that he would do it so much and so often and again, even, like, when the spotlight is on him, when they are after him, like, something drove him to do that. And, like, I don't understand that, like, I understand, like, getting up, going to work, you know, buying groceries, you know, going to bed early so you're not tired. I get that. Like, I can wrap my head around that concept. But what he did, I can't. And I think that's part of what makes it so fascinating for so many people is because they're just like, how do you do that? Like, what?
I am curious just to know, is there an official diagnosis other than he's off his rocker? I mean, clearly he had a specific personality type.
Is there something that happened in his childhood?
Yeah,
that,
something
like, kind
was
of,
wrong.
Compiled, like, all of this, and when he became an adult, it, you know, I don't...
You know, what, did cats disappear from the neighborhood when he was a kid? You know,
yeah, was there, like, what was the genesis of what it grew into?
But it's very well done. And, man, it's really, really well done. So you should take some time to watch it. You're listening to Binge or Cringe, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. We'll tell you what's worth watching. Jane Ellen talking to Adam Cravens.
About what? What is worth watching?
Now, we're going to talk about three things. We're going from Zac Efron's Ted Bundy. And remember how I told you Hulu kept trying to force me to watch The Act?
Man, what is it about streaming services?
Mm.
About them, like, they're pushy. They're pushy, like used cars salesmen pushy.
So I said, okay, fine, Hulu, you win. I'll watch it.
And then it was like, I am not voice automated. You cannot do that.
And I realize now that The Act is an 8 or 10 part series, and I guess the story continues, but I had seen the documentary upon which this had happened, and these are real life events. So this is what really happened. There was a mom, and she had Oh, it's going to come to me in a minute.
Three lovely ladies of her own.
No.
She met a man named Brady.
What's that? What's the term we learned from the X-Files?
The Brady Bunch?
No. Where the parent or adult in charge makes the child sick for attention. It's not Hertzfeld. It's...
I love that your pull was the X-Files. Not
yes,
like,
because I
not
learned.
Not like a medical journal or something. Like it was like, the X-Files taught us.
Yes, I learned not both a, of
like
these things.
Like when Star Trek taught us about M-class planets.
Which are real.
In our heads.
Yes. You know what I'm talking about.
I know.
Jacob Kretz. It'll come to me. Anyway, it's a real thing where people... make their kids sick because they have an illness themselves, a mental illness. Hertzfeld Jacob?
That's, I mean, basically they want a buddy.
Yes.
They want a buddy.
So this is what happened. This woman had a baby. Nothing wrong with the baby. Husband leaves. A mother is overbearing. Grandmother to the baby. She dies, yada, yada. And so it's basically the woman and the baby when the baby's like 3 years old. And I don't know, maybe the baby hurt her leg or something. The mother, through the years, convinces the child that the child is sick. I mean, carries around a phone book size directory of all of her illnesses, but they have to move around a lot. And then you go inside the home that Habitat for Humanity built for them, where she shaves her daughter's head, you know, from the cancer she doesn't have. The child doesn't get to eat any food because there is a feeding port. And so when they get pizza, the mom will run it through the blender and put it through the port. This kid thinks she's allergic to sugar. This kid has been told she's like 12 years old when she's, I don't know, 19. And her head's constantly shaved. She gets to go to Disney because of Make-A-Wish and this and that. And they just keep traveling. And after they go to this new place where Habitat built them something, a doctor suspects something's not quite right. And so you see the doctor trying to actually see all of the medical records. And you hear how the dad has nothing to do with her and blah, 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 blah. Well, of course, the kid eventually discovers the internet on a dating site. And of course, every mother's dream finds a mentally ill psychopath to be her boyfriend.
How many Disney movies have used that cliche? Like, none of them. Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind.
So the girl asks the boyfriend over the course of time to kill the mom because the mom wants to totally control the girl. And even though the girl finds out she can walk, she's not allowed to walk in her home. She's not allowed to eat food in her home. Her mom ties her up a lot.
Because the mom is crazy. The charade would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it is clearly child abuse and insane. And so they kill her. Well, he kills her. Now, I know that he is in prison for murder. The daughter is in her 20s. She got 10 years. She didn't actually do the act, but they only gave her 10 years because of the mitigating circumstances of all of those years of child abuse.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I get it, but...
It is a murder, but the individual that was perpetrated on...
Mm-hmm.
Was also committing another crime. Like, I'm not saying it's a competition. Like, mm-hmm. It's not who did the worst crime to whom for how long. But you would, I mean, like you said, like that really is a mitigating circumstance, because the child obviously doesn't want to be abused or, you know.
Right. And so the older she gets, the more she finds out about what's real and what isn't, because her mom lies and all these things. And it's fascinating. It is well done. Really disturbing to know that this is based on a true story, but Patricia Arquette does an extraordinary job as the mother who you just hate. You really do just hate her.
Maybe occasionally, Jane, you should break up all the murder and abuse. Like, I don't know, a rerun of Cheers? Like, or, you know, Frasier? Like,
Hulu
Friends?
Made me watch this. Hulu made me. So, now,
is that what you're going to tell the court?
Yeah.
Hulu made me do it.
Because I know the story, I have started skipping through it because it's so stomach churning to see what that kid had to go through. I just can't anymore. I just can't. It's like, kill her already, you know? I'm done with you now. But, again, kind of fascinating, and it really bugs me that I cannot remember the name of that disease, which will come to me, I'm sure, a couple weeks from now.
Several, or at the very moment, as soon as we stop the podcast.
Or when I watch The X-Files.
That'd do it, too.
Yeah. Now, we're going to go to a happier place. The third show is, I guess, Amy Poehler got a deal just like Adam Sandler did on Netflix. And this is an Amy Poehler production, and she stars in a movie called Wine Country. And it has many a Saturday Night Live alum. And for the moment, all I can say is Amy Poehler. Oh, and Tina Fey. Tina Fey is in it as well. But she's not the star. She's got an ancillary character,
I mean, they were co-anchors on Weekend Update for a number of years.
Yes. Now, this is the premise. I don't even know the number. Six women, they all met when they worked at a pizza shop and they were teenagers and they stayed friends for however many years. And, of course, they're all in different places in their lives. And one of them is turning 50, and so the Amy Poehler character has said, because so-and-so's husband is horrible, he won't do anything for her, let's all get together and have this awesome weekend. And that's what they do. Now, some of it, here's the thing. It's fine. But it had the potential, given the talent.
That really is a great concept.
Yeah.
Like, that they're, and when you, like you said, like, really, if the name stopped at Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, like, that's a lot of talent.
Munchausen syndrome by proxy.
I don't know why that wasn't just on the tip of my tongue, the lips and the teeth. Like,
that was the disease. Munchausen. Hertzfeld-Jacobs. That's a different one.
That's our other podcast. rare diseases and diagnoses.
Yes. So the funny stuff in it, and I want to give you the rest of the cast because I just couldn't remember. You've got Amy Poehler, Emily Spivey, Liz Kakowski, Paula Pell, Tina Fey, Maya Rudolph, Rachel Dratch, Anna Gasteyer. You get the idea?
Oh, wow. That's pretty much every female in that, like,
Jason
era
Schwartzman.
Cast. The late 90s cast. Yeah.
So there's an extraordinary amount of talent. And I want to see, much like with Detective Pikachu, I want to see what didn't make the cut.
Yeah, because when you get that many talented, funny people together, like, there's stuff that's on the cutting room floor that's probably well worth, like, the moment it would take to view it.
Mm-hmm. So, they all get together, and, of course, they bring in a tarot card reader, and that causes them to have even more issues, because the tarot card reader tells them things that, of course, eventually happen, but it's not a supernatural thing. It's just a thing. They start talking to each other, and there is some funny stuff. Instead of "that's what she said," they have a running line of "things we say now." Because they're older. Things we say now. They have what they call DUI songs, and it's songs they like to listen to when they're drinking. Very entertaining. You have this whole touchy-feely, it's organic California vibe in some of the places they go to, and the scenery is beautiful. I hear tell Napa is beautiful.
The what? The wine country?
Yes. Yeah. And there's a lot of wine.
I've heard the same thing.
There's funny lines as they go tasting wine to wine, and you have people who want to tell them about the wines. They don't care. So I'm not saying it isn't funny. I am saying it's not as funny as those talented people could have made it.
What was the movie that Paul Rudd and Tina Fey did to get, like, Admission, I want to say is the name of it. I think I felt, that's how I felt about that movie. When I saw Paul Rudd and Tina Fey were doing a movie together, I was like, the comic gods have met on Olympus. And it wasn't not entertaining, but, like, Paul Rudd is hysterical, and Tina Fey is brilliant and hysterical. Like, and the movie was just, it was okay. Like, yeah. I mean, I didn't hate it. Like,
well, for instance, there one of the women is a lesbian, and so she meets a woman who's a waitress and a like-minded individual, but she's younger, and she invites them to her art show, and so they decide to go, and the joke there is all of her art is Fran Drescher. So there's just all of this. Fran Drescher is this, Fran Drescher is that, and it's all nanny related. And then you have an exchange from the women in their 50s talking to these millennials, who each one of them is a stereotype that you just want to slap. You just do. And so there's this whole thing about how they feel. And it's very funny. Not laugh out loud funny, but it's like, I'm with the older people. These people annoy me. So, you know, there's that. And I appreciated it. And it was really well done. But the younger people...
It just
people,
should have been...
Yes, but the younger people in this one scene, they think that that it was part of the whole artistic experience. And you just get annoyed by them. I appreciate it. I don't regret that I watched it.
You just wish it had been a little
bit. It could
better.
Have been.
Yeah.
It could have been sublime. But compared to all of the Adam Sandler Netflix films, it is Oscar worthy.
It's The Godfather Part 2. Yeah.
Yes. So I think that anyone of a certain age is going to find things about it that are funny, even if you're a really irritating millennial, as portrayed in the film.
I did read up, and I want to say it's Amazon is producing the show. You and I had made several jokes at Hannah's expense the other day. The Born Infancy, like, I think we had tagged it. Apparently, and like I said,
Born Pregnancy.
Pregnancy, that's Born what it Pregnancy. That the infancy is the third of that trilogy.
Did I already do our thing?
Hmm?
Have we already thanked Hintz and Oakley?
I think we did in our previous podcast.
Well, let's thank them again.
We should.
We are broadcasting from high atop the Hintz and Oakley Family Dentistry Podcast Center. Binge or Cringe will tell you what's worth watching. Jane Ellen talking to Adam Cravens. If we did it before, well, you got it
we
twice.
We got two.
You got it twice. So, yes, Hannah, did you watch some of it?
No, it was Treadstone. They're developing a show called Treadstone, which is about – they were very, very nonspecific in the details – but what I'm getting from it is either it's a continuation or it's a prequel to before Jason Bourne became part of it, like the clandestine like government agency. But apparently they're developing a television series or a mini series. Like they were not like heavy handed on the details. But I was interested enough that I'd be like, okay, all right. Well, I mean, I'll check that out. Like Bourne Legacy, which is essentially the Bourne movies without Jason Bourne, proved that the concept can work. Like, if you saw it or didn't see it, like, Jeremy Renner, like, essentially takes on...
not the Arrow.
No. Nothing. Or Hawkeye. Is he, I mean, listen, the man's in three movies that grossed over $1 billion.
But like, I always have to think, he is... It's not Robin Hood, he is...
He would make a pretty sick
Wouldn't
Robin
he?
Hood.
Yeah.
I don't know how nobody's done that. Just saying.
But match him like, up with what, Kevin Hart?
You can always match anyone up with him. Like, he's the perfect buddy to like any buddy cop or like cartoon. Like Kevin Hart will get it done. Like mm-hmm. I honest to goodness, like there's a reason why he's one of the hardest working men in Hollywood. He really is just likable and funny.
Yes. And
no, the Treadstone, I'm really kind of into that concept. Like Amazon successfully kind of ported Jack Ryan into the smaller screen.
When's the next season? I keep waiting.
Here's the catch about not being networked. Like back in the day, like everybody went on hiatus during the summer. Like you started writing at this mm-hmm. point. You started your episodes here, and you definitely ended in May. Like you probably started in September. They're kind of on that HBO timeline where you're just like, well, okay, well, we need a little bit more time on this season. And they're like, okay, well, we'll just skip a year. Is that good? Is that okay? Like, we'll just...
No, it's well, not.
Well, I listen, they didn't ask me. They asked Amazon. What? And I have not heard a firm date there. But the great thing about streaming is, like, you know, you used to have to wait for, like, a rerun of that episode before, like, DVD or even VHS became, like, manageable in a financial sense. Once streaming drops, like, you can just keep watching it. Like, mm-hmm. My wife, whenever she goes to bed, like, she will watch The Office. Like, I hear Michael Scott in my dreams because of that. Like, I'm just, like, occasionally Dwight, like, kind of jerks me out of, like, a really calm sleep. But
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
Bears!
Interesting. So, see, I took us there is no murder, some mayhem in wine country.
Oh, actually, you know what? Like, and as often as you and I say things that you can't put on the poster, that would work.
Yes, it would.
What murder and no murder?
No murder, some mayhem.
That's like, that's a great tag right there.
I should be paid so much more for so many
I'm just
things.
Saying, like, if that was a promo, like, for, like, what coming this fall, like, I'd just be like, oh, well, I might tune into that. I like that. That's a good tag.
And I
see that on the side of a bus or something?
Yes, I would watch that. Now, what I will have watched by next week, because I simply can't wait, Lucifer.
The TV show, yes. Not the actual
devil.
Demon.
No. Yeah. Yes, this Lucifer is Tom Ellis. And my only concern.
Were you about to say something Spanish? You were rolling your R.
No, not at all.
Wasn't sure.
This Lucifer, very talented, sings and plays. When he sings, I Will Survive. I mean, Tom Ellis really can sing. So there's that happening. However, I haven't seen the new season, and the new season is No Holds Bar Lucifer. The other seasons were, sure, my almost 14-year-old can watch this. I don't know if the Hulu version is going to be acceptable for her to watch. So there's that. But they're introducing the character of Eve, Lucifer's first girlfriend.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyway. So I will be watching Lucifer, and that's one of the shows that got saved when, you know, shows are taken off of networks, then they go and get saved. What do we do when it's on the network? Again, Santa Clarita Diet. How do we get you saved?
Especially when you're already streaming.
Yes.
Like, I wonder if that, and I'm not saying necessarily, like, the technology had have existed then, but, like, the 1966 Batman show, like, almost got saved by NBC. I think it was NBC wanted it after ABC canceled it. They're like, we'll do it for a season. But they had already struck, like, the Batcave set, and it was apparently very expensive. And they're like, okay, well, we don't want it anymore. Like, you never heard about shows getting saved mm-hmm. like that. Like, especially, I can think of a couple of instances, like, when, well, no, that wasn't even saved. Like, what was it? CBS bought the TGIF lineup real late in TGIF's, like, life. They ported Family Matters and I think Step by Step.
I'm already bored.
Over into CBS, and it was like Block Party Friday. Like it was an obvious attempt.
Not on my block.
But, like, they also both got canceled the season after that. Like, very poor quality seasons. But, like, you just never heard about that back in that. Like, once a show was gone, Like it was dead and gone. Like it did not come back.
Other than the weird fandom that grew around Star Trek, the original series, the first show that was successfully saved that I can remember is Family Guy.
Futurama got canceled twice.
Oh, Futurama.
Family Guy got canceled, but then because of the reruns they were showing on Adult Swim and the DVD sales, because this is back when people still wanted physical media. Like, Fox was looking at it going, okay, well, we may have killed a golden goose before it had started laying its eggs, and it's in what, its 18th season?
Easily.
At this point, Futurama, originally on Fox, gets, and it wasn't even because it was underperforming. Like, Fox just went through weird periods where they were like, okay, we don't want to do animation. Like, King of the Hill got unceremonious. Like,
King of the Hill was great.
They didn't. There wasn't even like they're like, okay, this show's been on 11 years. We need to give it a finale. It was just like, we don't need new episodes. Which is basically
propane and propane accessories.
Basically, the way they canceled Futurama. And then Futurama, I think when it started showing on Comedy Central, they're like, there's something here. So they produced him a couple of, or they had produced a couple of straight to DVD movies that they showed as the fifth season, and they performed well enough that Comedy Central was like, okay, instead of doing just showing the DVD like and splitting them up into four episodes and showing that as a season, why don't you guys just make us another season? And I think it went on another like two. That show did get canceled twice. And like even after it got canceled again, people were like, okay, well, where are we doing it now? And I think like they were just kind of like, well, we're not.
Yeah,
like we survived death twice, okay? Like,
and then you have Firefly that don't get us started because we need another podcast for that. But the short version is many people more than a little upset over its all too brief time on TV. And that one didn't get saved. And so now I remember the Mindy Project. They were going to not let it wrap up.
I will say this about Firefly. We did mercifully.
Yes, we got a movie.
We got the movie. Like, I would have much rather had another season or, like, something. But we did get that. Like,
and Nathan Fillion is, bit by bit, visiting the homes of all the Firefly fans. He's not come to your house yet?
Where am I on that?
You're on the list.
The list.
Like, the list.
You're on the list. I guess I'm several names. Or maybe he just came there one day when I wasn't home. And he's just
that
like,
could have been it.
Hey,
Adam? Sorry.
Adam? Oh, I got a lot of people.
I got to go. He's like Santa. Whole time travel thing. So, Lucifer canceled, resurrected, and in the resurrection, much like with Mindy Project, it was so subtle, the language changed to be a bit more realistic. Maybe just the S word crept in, but nothing like nudity or anything like that. But it was just subtle, and we're going, whoa, they didn't used to say that. Now, Lucifer, they say, is going to be a lot more
stuff that you
luciferous.
The very proper,
a bit
properly,
more body.
Yeah, like, I mean, if Satan, you know, Beelzebub, Lucifer, known for anything, it's usually, you know, debauchery or sinfulness or any number of adjectives and nouns that mean bad things.
Mm-hmm. Except for this version of Lucifer, who really is a delight.
Which, we probably don't need to put that on any. Jane Ellen says, Lucifer is a delight.
Cackle, cackle, cackle. This version of. Anyway, so
that's the part of it they'll drop in the quote. you just have that ellipsis right there at the end, and they're like, well, what did you say after that? And I go, I said this version. They're like, all it said was that you liked Lucifer.
No, this version. And what is funny about this version of Lucifer is anytime they bring up, you know, Satanists and cults, and he's like, I don't want that. It's just, he's real funny.
I mean, to be fair, when they're just inferring, like, I guess that would happen if you were like some kind of a demon or a deity or something, and you're just like, I was here 2,000 years ago. I totally didn't say that. You took that way out of context.
That's many of the running jokes on Lucifer. you know, why do people think that? And yeah, there's,
if he was here right now, he'd say, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say that.
So, yeah, there's that. There is that. So, on that note, I wish I could watch it tonight. Because I fear once I start, I will not be able to stop.
Kind of like me and Double Stuff Oreos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I get it. Yeah, I understand.
I would like to have four Double Stuff Oreos, a small glass of milk, and Lucifer all at the same time.
Like, I really become Winnie the Pooh, like, if I get access to things like that.
I really enjoy eating and watching TV at the same time.
I'm just like, oh, baller.
I wish I didn't.
A rabbit, do you have a honey?
I wish I enjoyed jogging in place and watching TV at the same time. I do not.
Well, you could. You can get, you know, like an elliptical or something
I
like
could.
That. And I'm just saying, like, what you're describing is not impossible.
Like, I really like sitting, and the only exercise is a hand-to-mouth.
I'm just, like, training to be able to jump to the moon, that's not realistic. Walking while you're watching television it's not an impossible dream, Jane.
I really like eating and watching TV. And I'm just going to leave it at
also
that.
Not an impossible dream.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening. And a special thank you to Nish, who is now a convert and follows us, dare I say, religiously.
Can we stay away from the cult-sounding words?
Yes. So thank you so much for listening, and we will be back next week as I force myself to watch more TV for the sake of this program. Force myself. You are listening to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Binge or Cringe, starring Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens, is a Hinson Oakley Podcast Center production. Listen to new or past podcasts anytime at rock937online.com.